Okay, here we go.
Despierto en la noche, roto sin nada que decir, y luego en la mañana me siento igual, no puedo seguir. Estoy tan cansado este lado de mí, a mi lado. Necesito algo más de ti. No prende el fuego, no prende el fuego sin voluntad. Ni un hasta luego y bailemos aquí en la oscuridad.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Springsteen has joined the Holy Tea.
Has entered the chat.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I can't do it.
Okay. Welcome, Rafaela Smaldone.
Welcome.
Sophomore from Emmitsburg, Maryland, studying Spanish for International Relations.
Close.
Oh. I was like mostly confident.
You had it for a second. Yeah. I thought you were in the home stretch. It's Spanish for International Service.
Gotcha.
Okay. It was one word off.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, me. I'm doing better than what I thought.
are you from Emmitsburg?
I am from Emmitsburg.
That's where we went for the silent retreat.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah.
We were like 6 minutes from my house.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, close. Yeah. Very close.
You live very, very close to Pennsylvania.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
I didn't realize how far up in Maryland we were.
You know what?
It was a long drive.
That was a bus ride.
Yeah.
I was in the crazy bus.
I sat up at the front and took naps and listened to music.
Dang.
Lucky you.
That was pretty scenery, though.
Beautiful.
I was very close to the front in my bus, and the driver, she was stressed out. There was, like, water pouring through the bus.
Oh, right.
Like, through the roof, and then even right over where the pedals are.
Yes.
So she was really stressed out, and then she got to the point where she was like, guys, I'm turning on Nicki Minaj.
Yes, you told me this. I knew
this. So we were in the Nicki Minaj bus, I was, and then we pulled over so she could go to the bathroom at this rest stop, and she comes back to try and turn back on the bus. The bus wouldn't turn on for a couple minutes.
Okay.
That was low-key, stressful. And then we roll in, and we were the last bus to arrive.
Yeah, I was about to say, the guys got there. We're like, where are the women at? I mean, we're not supposed to see them, but like, where are y'all?
We were revealed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow, very bridal of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where I live in Emmitsburg, you can walk to the Pennsylvania border, like, it takes like 5 minutes. So we're
you're not kidding me.
We're like right on the line.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We were up there.
Wow.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Okay.
I'm jealous. You live in such a nice part of Maryland. It's really, really pretty.
It was such a pretty retreat center.
It was. Yes. It was nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Emmitsburg is home to the first native-born American saint.
What? Oh, wait.
There is a shrine to Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton.
That
is my hometown.
Wow.
She is a beautiful woman. She's my confirmation saint.
Awesome.
It checks out.
Yeah, she's great.
That's
wow.
That's the name of my home parish.
Oh, shoot.
Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton
there
Catholic
we,
Church.
There we go.
That was the name of my homeschool curriculum.
Whoa! Okay, so we all have connections with her.
Coming in clutch.
Coming in hot.
Wow.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. But we hear that instead of going to Emmitsburg, back to lovely Emmitsburg for spring break, Yes, for spring break.
Yeah, for spring break.
You went to lovely, lovely New York, New York.
Yes, we went to New York, New York. I love New York.
It was so good.
Yes. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was so, so wonderful.
Yeah.
Tell us about that trip.
Oof. Okay, let's think. I think that there could have been a lot, we spent 1 week. There could have been, we could have done even more in the time that we were there. Yeah. So, but in the moments that we did have, it was a mission evangelization. Like our objective was evangelization.
Yeah. Specifically like really street ministry.
Street ministry.
Was like one of the biggest emphasis.
Yes. And it was, how many days? Maybe 4 or 5. We went to Washington Square Park.
Washington Square Park, baby. I want to go there again.
No, for real.
I miss that place.
For real.
Yeah.
So we would go to the park, and Father Jonah, a Dominican who I guess runs the parish, St. Joseph, is that what it's called? Or St. Vincent
Ferrer,
maybe.
Okay, pause.
Yeah.
Is this the parish where St. Hopefully he'll be a saint one day. Father Joseph, is that where he used to be?
No. Oh, wait, hold on.
There's two parishes.
Someone maybe do more, a honestly. Quick Google search.
Yeah, which one it was.
Search up St. Vincent Ferrer, and then that would answer the question, I feel like.
I don't.
Or yeah. Do you have the schedule from our trip still?
I don't, but I'm going to look up this. I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look up St. Vincent Ferrer.
Okay.
Let's see.
They have this really cool, pretty much 24-hour adoration chapel.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. So actually, I heard about it like a couple years ago on this Catholic psychology podcast, and they were talking about this thing being like, it was almost finished.
Right.
Yeah.
Is, of course, Catholic psychology.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for Catholic psychology.
Sucker.
Yeah. That's my weakness.
Your weakness. Mm.
Yeah. Would you get in the van if someone offered you a textbook of Catholic psychology?
Yes.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Possibly. Not really. But,
possibly.
Yeah. No, it was so beautiful. The chapel.
Yes.
We'll post pictures of the inside of that y'all need adoration space.
I saw no pictures from the New York trip.
So I took a lot of pictures on my camera.
Mm-hmm.
My SD card got, what's it called? Not distorted.
Hacked?
No.
Can you hack an SD card?
No.
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Basically, the photos are still on the card, but the card won't be read. So, yeah. That's why I never created the scrapbook.
Sad story.
So I haven't had time to like take the SD card to a shop. But did you find out the answer?
Yeah, it was St. Joseph's. So
St. Joseph's.
The name of the church is St. Joseph's. So St. Jonah, Father Jonah, he's a Dominican, and he has befriended a lot of the people who are experiencing homelessness in Washington Square Park. And so he was like our point of connection. He introduced us to a lot of the people that we spent our days with, our afternoons with. In that park. And yeah, that was the most, basically we did this mission with one sister from the Society of St. Mary, or Society of Mary, and a priest, shout out Father Maximo. Honestly, why didn't I shout out Sister Annunciata? I'm sorry. But Father Maximo, who's Society of St. John's. So I did a mission with them last summer. And so their like approach to missionary work is something that I was familiar with. And so I knew what we were when we showed up to the park. I was like, let's dive in, let's go. So I thought it was really, the experiences I had, even though, you know, like I said, like I felt like I could have spent so much more time there, still fruitful. Like all work that we do, like anything we do in his name, we just have to like really hold on to the trust that something took place. Like you might not see the fruit, you might feel uncomfortable, you know, things might feel awkward. It's like anytime you share his name, just have faith, have the faith and trust in his name to be able to walk away and have joy in that. Like even if, you know what I mean, like when we don't see the immediate results, there's a temptation to just despair or honestly like criticize ourselves, like maybe I'm not saying we shouldn't try to improve when we evangelize.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. But like there's still a temptation to despair when things don't go the way that you, when things aren't miraculous. And it's like, no, you need to have joy in just the fact that you shared him with someone.
Mm.
Period.
Wow. So that gets into our topic today. We really want to talk about mission and the gift of music and mission, right. And yeah. All things mission related and spring mission. From there. Mission. It's such a cool
mysterious.
Word. Honestly.
Mission.
Do you like that word, Julian?
I do like that word.
Okay.
I wonder what the root of it is. Because you're saying it's a cool word and I couldn't tell you where it comes from. Misio, maybe.
Yeah. You speak Spanish, though, right?
Mision. Yeah, Spanish mision.
And you ate, what did you eat in Mexico?
Oh, I ate chapulines, which are crickets.
Oh.
And they're very crispy. And they have a ton of spicy sauce on top. So you put a lot of salsa on it, and then you put tajin, which is like spicy, you know, like a flavor, like a seasoning.
Right.
That is special.
They hit hard. They tasted really good. And you eat it with a little mango sorbet with it.
I don't believe it.
Mm, I'm salivating right now. I'm not kidding you. I'm salivating. Oof. Yeah.
Oh, man. And then did you do anything else in Mexico? That's funny.
Anything else? Oof. when I first landed in Mexico City, this was 2 years ago, I was getting my sister and I went, and we had canceled a car. We had scheduled an Uber to take us from the airport to our, like,
Ubers are the most trustworthy thing on planet Earth. I totally don't have any suspicion of the concept.
Well, the thing is she had this. I think it actually came with the, like, hostel we were living or staying at.
Okay.
I think they did that for you. Like, they added it just with a part of your stay. Yeah. And so but she canceled it because we were going to be late. So she canceled that ride. But then when we showed up, when we get off the plane, we see someone standing there with our last name. And so we go up, and he's like, Maria, that's my sister's name. And we're like, yeah, actually, that's us. And then he's like, okay, come on, let's go. So we start following this guy. And then I looked at Maria. I'm like, didn't you cancel this ride? And she was like, yeah, I did. So she's like looking on her phone, like trying to figure out why there's someone here.
Yeah.
But we were so tired because our plane was late. So we were like, we're just going to get in this guy's van. Like, there's no reason to question this. So he had a big white van. We get in the van. It was a big
Raffy.
Red flags. Red flags.
Ma'am, this is literally story number one of many in which I have, where you can showcase my lack of street smarts. Like, I literally don't know.
I clearly need to teach you a thing or two about not getting into a random white van.
No, you seriously do. I really, there's been so many situations like near kidnaps that I have escaped. I've just avoided, like, I just get lucky.
God is
not lucky. God is watching me. Anyway, so I get in this white van with my sister, and we're in the middle of the seat or middle of the van.
Mm-hmm.
The guy puts the car in reverse to get out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
Hits the gas, immediately hits the car that's parked behind us. Like, we just jam into the car behind us. So we're like, oh, flip. He puts the car in park. It gets out, has to go check the damage. All these Mexican police come over with their flashlights, like, looking at the back of his car. So, like, he's dealing with these policemen. And Maria and I, my sister, we're just in the car. We look at each other and we're like, what if he's not the right guy? Like, what if this is a problem? So I said, like, Maria, we just got to check. So I get up, and I unbuckle my seat, and I go to the front, and I get this guy's phone to see where his Google Maps is taking us, like, zoom in, and I'm like checking to make sure it's our hostel. It was our hostel. But we still didn't take his ride because he told us it would be 40 minutes for us to wait so that the police could write him a ticket for the damage he had caused.
Oh.
So we just left his car and called the taxi. But nice guy, I honestly think about him sometimes.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing well.
I thought he was going to kidnap me, but he was a nice guy.
He was a nice man.
I thought he was going to kill me, but...
Very gentlemanly. Thought he was going to kill me. Thought that was going to be my last day. He's a very good, very good man. Oh, man. Okay, so is there a story that occurred during our New York trip that really... Or, like, one of them. Doesn't have to be, like, the main one, because we'll probably talk about a lot of stories.
Mm.
But one in your mind right now that really just shows the value of mission.
Mm.
Or, like, how stepping outside of yourself.
Mm.
Anything like that. Like, you can take it wherever you want.
Mm. Well, okay, there was one man whose name was... Gene.
Guys. Yes.
So, his name was... Gene, and I met him because Father Jonah introduced me.
Nice.
And he kind of started off just, you know, being kind of casual. Like, he was a nice guy, friendly, you know, happy to meet me. He said, like, you know, oh, you know Father Jonah? I said, oh, yeah, like, we're friends. He said, oh, he's a great guy, love him. All the people would say that about him. Like, they really, really respect him and
it was amazing.
Care about him. Yeah. Yeah. I was very impressed. With how much those people, like, really receive him. They really, really feel comfortable around him. It was really, like, inspiring.
And that's saying something, because with my experience with those experiencing homelessness in the DFW Metroplex specifically, they are not keen to talk to, you know, people who are not, who they are not around 24/7, who do not, you know, live in that same area as them.
Right,
you
know? Right.
Yeah.
Says a lot about his character, I think. And
so
I don't
much.
Even know the man.
For real.
Honestly, just like to paint this picture, think of a Dominican in all white just walking around this huge park with all these people that do not fit the status quo of the people that you generally think of that you want to be around. Like people that are doing drugs, people that are just doing any number of random things that are kind of like slightly not what we're used to.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think one of the biggest things there was that everyone was displaying a different way to be seen.
Yes.
And that was like a really big takeaway I had about like the, how much the human person desires to be seen. And like, we need that. And that's not just like, oh my gosh, they're just attention seeking. Like, no,
right,
like,
right.
That's a genuine thing.
Need. Yeah. Need. Yes.
Yeah. But kind of like, anyways, to paint the picture, like you got this Dominican and he's going off to all these people. He even hugged one guy who like, he was smoking a joint and then he gave Father Jonah a hug and dropped the joint.
Yeah.
It was like so cool to just like watch and like all these people that like normally stereotypically would stay as far away from a priest as possible.
Right.
But they didn't feel condemnation. They felt love.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that was so intensely beautiful. Like that was Father Jonah to him. Mm. Father Jonah wasn't the person that they felt condemnation.
Yeah.
Father Jonah was the person they felt love from.
Mm.
But anyways, it's tons and tons of people.
Mm.
And there's a Dominican.
Yeah, no, what you're saying about the attention seeking or like that is really what it was in a nutshell. Like you see a group of people in a circle and each one is like you just see it in the way that they dress. Like there's a lot of expression, trying to express themselves for sure. Like they, and there's a real like, it deserves a lot of respect that they're even trying to do that. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like trying to, they're chasing something.
Yeah.
Right.
They're chasing beauty for sure.
Which is interesting how like, even though we derail in different ways through life circumstances.
Right.
We still desire goods that God created us for, but sometimes they just get slightly distorted or they come out in ways we don't anticipate.
Right.
Just really good.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Right. Eugene. Anyway, Gene, he wasn't actually one of the most shinily dressed. He was more like, he was kind of a
more
normal looking guy. Yeah. Low key. In his mid 50s. And so anyways, when Father Jonah introduced me, I could tell like just by his manner, like he was in it for like a quick handshake, a little like quick, small, like, you know, just a little bit of introduction and then just going to like walk away. Like he wasn't
like he was going to be polite, but
he was going to be polite. Right. But I knew like, nah, I'm going to snag him.
This is totally something you do.
I honestly don't know how I did it. But like even there was one point where I feel like he kind of just like sidestepped, like he was about to walk away. Then I said something and he stepped right back in. I think it was music, which is interesting. I wasn't planning on talking about music with this example exactly, but it's true that that was a point of connection for us. My dad taught me a lot of like a lot of my dad's music taste I've absorbed, or just like listening together. We grew up listening to a lot of like 60s rock and 70s folk music, soft rock, and that's like Eugene's this man's generation. So I was connecting with him on that, and that was you could just tell like when someone is no longer looking at you as a just like a cardboard cutout or just like a person that they have to just like, yeah, like appease. Mm-hmm. And when they start looking at you as like an actual potential friend, you know, like friend, the friend look. I got the friend look from him. I got the friend look. And
friend
it,
look.
Yeah, it was really, I was really like, yeah, I was just happy to connect on him with him in that way. And so we chatted about like a variety of things, like just vibing, knowing how to vibe with people is like, I mean, it's a skill or it's a talent. It's a talent. Yeah. But, and I've seen how the Lord has used that in many ways just throughout my life, being able to tailor a conversation like for the person that you're encountering so that they're really enjoying themselves. You know what I mean? Like I just like to make people laugh a lot. And so if you have that skill, it's like, wow, that's a really, really, it's powerful.
But also another skill you have is that you really compliment the person.
Mm.
So that way they feel secure enough to continue talking with you because you affirm the good things in them. And especially like when you're in those dark places, having that affirmation, whether it's like, oh yeah, like you did this cool, like maybe it was a small little thing, but kind of like affirming the fact that they're pretty good at that thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, I was seen in that moment.
Mm.
And then that kind of builds trust to continue the conversation. But it's not like you do it out of a tactic. You do it out of, like, I've seen it so many times where you just see something in someone and you just want to affirm it.
Mm-hmm.
I find that so beautiful. I love that character trait about you. And so I'm wondering if you could, like, speak more to that, like, how that has also been helpful, maybe with Jean or maybe just generally kind of with mission.
Well, thank you, Trez. I think it's, I haven't noticed it. Like, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't even know to list that as one of the things that I do, but I'm happy that.
And she's humble too. Listen to
No, but I, no, I mean, I think that, yeah, I think it's a gift. And I think it also comes from a place of a certain, like, childlikeness. Like,
ooh,
I think that.
I like that.
I think that when I encounter people, I try to, yeah, I think just, it's something also just like, you know, in your faith life, like, we hear all the time, like, Jesus says a lot that we should be childlike or we should be like these little ones. Like, that's a repeated teaching. And I think that, yeah, I think maybe I've just been given a grace to, like, experience that brand of Christ-likeness, which is just, like, not losing your zest for life. Like,
yeah.
When you, like, even the little things should be, like, really delighted in. And so, like, when
I love that word, delight.
Mm-hmm. So when you encounter someone and they, yeah, just like, because like children, I think, get really impressed really easily. Yeah. Like, I have an internship at a bilingual Catholic school.
Ooh.
I actually was there today, yeah. And I've been working with these kids and I realize like how the smallest thing really like excites them and they like, yeah, like are impressed. I've told, like, they've asked me, like, do you have friends? And I say yes, and they go, like, they get so excited for me. They're so impressed by it. Or I'll say, how old are you? And I'll say 20, and they'll go, like, they'll be like, oh my gosh, you're so old. Like, they get so happy. And I think that's honestly where it comes from, is just like affirming people by seeing the things that are beautiful about them, and even if they're common or just, or I guess small or like easily overlooked, I think it's just having that like that's cool, like good yeah. for you. Like that's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, maybe that's what it is, because I see that sometimes my reactions can be kind of similar to what I see these kids do. Anyway, yeah.
I especially like that. That piece about people just wanting to be seen, you know, for the intrinsic beauty that they have. Because, I mean, I think that harkens back to creation just a tad bit, you know. In human beings, like, body, like, in their creation, like, there is intrinsic beauty.
Hmm.
But once you fall into sin and once you allow the enemy to distort God's beauty, you're ashamed, you cover yourself up, you don't want to be seen.
Hmm.
And I think that's something that brings a lot of people to faith in Christ, is first of all being aware that, like, yeah, like, I am sinful, but the Lord has seen the intrinsic beauty that he's endowed me with. Mm. And so that's where, from what I'm hearing, that was a huge tentpole of y'all's trip, you know.
Mm. And I think you can see in someone's eyes,
mm-hmm.
when, like, I think that's what makes, like, sometimes you get the look. Like, when, you know, if when someone's, like, super, when someone's on, like, you know, Christ cocaine, like, when someone is, like, coked up with the Spirit, sometimes they can be, like, low-key annoying.
That's very interesting.
I don't think I've heard that one, like, yet, but I might steal it from you.
Do it.
Yeah.
For real, though, like, a stimulant. Like, when people are high on Jesus, sometimes, yeah, like, they can just be a lot, right? Like, overwhelming. Like,
it's amazing,
people think
they're so beautiful.
Yeah,
like, I'm attracted to that.
Oh, yeah. And it's, like, biblical. Like, they thought that the apostles were drunk.
Yeah.
Remember? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they think that you are intoxicated.
No one acts this way about a person or about
right
belief systems.
Without a drug, for real.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But that speaks so much to the genuineness.
Yes, yes. But so I just saying, just, like, responding to what you said about, like, how it attracts people out of their shame when they realize that they are beautiful. Like,
yeah.
even in their, you know what I mean? Being seen as beautiful, being seen as the Father sees us, like, that's what calls people out of themselves, because they've given up on what they think of themselves. Like, they no longer, like, the self-loathing just eats at you. So it's like when you see someone looking at you and you can see in their eyes that it, you know, like they're like, when you look at someone in the way that you would look at like a beautiful painting, like they're receiving the look of being looked upon as beautiful, like they're receiving that look, that's
snaps.
That's, and but that's, and that's, and that is what we're called to do, because that is how Christ looks at us. Like what you're saying, like,
ooh,
it's not us, it should be the Lord looking at them,
right?
And that's
I think he's really just using us as his instruments.
And and it's interesting, it's like, why couldn't he just show up and look at every person individually? Why does he want to use us? That's the mystery. Why does he ask us to participate? Why does he want to use us? That's a question.
You word things very, very beautifully, by the way.
She really does.
Good. Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. Have you considered becoming a sister?
I mean, I've thought about it, but I've never discerned.
Okay.
Yeah. But I have thoughts. I have thoughts.
Thoughts.
Thoughts. Lots of thoughts. Good
I
thoughts.
I have thoughts. I have moments of intense, like, attraction towards that vocation.
Right.
But I have never discerned it.
Gotcha.
And to a certain extent, I feel like every Catholic should at least think about it.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's some sort of responsibility there.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of times we just kind of shy away from it too much.
Because
we're like, oh, okay, like if I go to daily mass too much.
Yes.
Then I'm going to be labeled as that.
Yes.
Or whatever. And it's kind of like, okay.
They see me on the second row of adoration every Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not, if your vocation isn't fixed yet, then it's always on the table. Like, the options are always open. It's always an option until you've, you know, declared a vocation.
Yeah, right. That is so true. Okay. I know we really wanted to, like, talk about music because, like, you're a really musical person. So two things. I'd love to hear a story about how, like, music was, like, really a large contributor to evangelization, specifically on this trip, but, like, even also, like, on other mission trips or in daily evangelization, whatever. So you can take this however, multiple stories or just one, whatever you want to do.
Sure.
But then I want to hear you drop some bars on your guitar.
Okay, yeah, okay, I have some stories. So one is from my mission that I went on last summer to St. Lucia, the Caribbean island.
Nice.
Shout out, I want to go back to St. Lucia very badly. I don't know when I will, though. And one of the days, so we had a mission group. And I had a priest in my group, but he got sick. He ate a bad salt fish.
Oh, that's very specific.
Yeah, yeah. It really put it, like, he was down for the count for many days.
Wow.
But, so my group then dwindled to just me and another freshman, because this was my freshman year last year.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was a boy, thank goodness, because if it was just two girlies, that would not be safe enough.
Yeah.
We went to our mission zone, which was Cooley Town. Shout out Cooley Town. I really love Cooley Town. Isn't that a great name?
Spell it.
Sorry, Spanish. C-O-O-L-I-E-T-O-W-N. Cooley Town. Anyway.
Okay.
You don't need to visualize it.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah, right. So Cooley Town, it's just me and this other guy. His name is Santiago. And we... It, now that this priest had left, I felt like a more of a responsibility to really, like, lead things. And it was also fun, like, to have that freedom of, like, you know, we had to take charge. We go to this man's house who, there's not really, like, a door. It's, like, the door is, like, in half, you know, like, kind of, I actually don't know where you would see this, but, like, it's a door, but it's cut in half, just the bottom part.
Yeah, like horse stables.
Like horse stables. Yeah. And then they had, like, little flowers, like, hanging from the top. Like a hula thing.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Very, very humble house. Not really constructed. Like kind of just very flimsy walls. Okay. Four walls. And very, very small. I think it was a dirt floor, honestly. But we, like, kind of knocked on his half of a door. And he came to the top, right? He came to the top holding his son in his arms. Like a little one-year-old boy.
Such a precious age.
Beautiful, oh, beautiful. And we said, hi, we're missionaries and we're visiting and we're Catholic and we, you know, how are you doing? Actually, first off, you don't start by saying you're missionary. Sorry, I'm just trying to condense the story.
Yeah.
Of course, you never start just being like, you know, like
convert,
right? You just start like, hi, how are you this morning, you know? But he ended up inviting us into his home. That's another thing. Never asking to come in. You just, if the person invites you, then you go.
Okay.
But never forcing yourself upon them.
That's a good thing.
Very important.
I respect that.
Very important. So he invited us in. We came, we sat on his couch, which is basically very close to the floor. Like the sink cushions just sunk. So he had like a 3-year-old daughter and like a 1-year-old boy. And the daughter was running around outside with her friends. And he was very soft-spoken, maybe in his 30s. He had long dreadlocks. And he expressed to us that he wasn't Catholic. He was, what is it called? I had never heard of this religion or spirituality until I was in St. Lucia. What is it called? Do you know what you're talking about? It's like when you can't cut your hair. It's not...
Not a type of Protestant.
Rastafarian?
Rastafari, that's it.
That is extremely specific.
Rastafari.
Can someone give me the 30-second
You want to give a
rundown
on that?
I know that Bob Marley was a Rastafari,
yeah.
And all I know is that, you know, they didn't cut their hair.
Right.
They're big into marijuana.
Yeah.
But I'm not, in terms of their actual beliefs, I'm not entirely sure.
Me neither. But he was a very open-minded man, but he did tell us that. And he said, like, he told us, like, he was just open to any kind of faith, but he's really open to like genuine people. He's looking for people who are genuine.
Interesting how that is his search.
Yeah. And he said I am willing to listen to anyone. He was like, anyone who's passionate about what they believe in, I'd like to listen to them.
And that makes so much sense.
Like,
because
what
you will
a grace
by their fruits.
Yeah, like, what a grace.
Like, if someone's really connected to Jesus, like, you can just tell. Do you ever like get overwhelmed by, like, in a good way, like someone you can tell they're just like so full of God's love,
yeah,
and all of that, and they just radiate, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I feel like even if you're not getting a hug from them, you feel like you're getting a hug from them, or
yeah,
like Jesus is hugging you, because it's such a warm presence, and you feel so inspired, and you just, like, the amount of love that is just radiated is amazing.
Mm.
And so, like, yeah, I'd be looking for that too.
right, exactly. Yes. So, yeah, I was very, very thoroughly impressed by this man. I told him many times how much I thought he was so, so inspiring. Just a very, very, just very, very admirable to have that kind of mindset. Like, to be that open and inviting and welcoming, like, you know, I could just tell he was a thoughtful person.
Mm.
That's so beautiful.
Wow.
So he said, we said we have a gospel reading to share with you. Can we read with you and pray with you? And he said, yes, absolutely. So we did that. But before we did that, we always started with a song to begin the prayer. And I sang a song which I think literally was made in the 70s when I, like, the charismatic church started to really, like, be born.
Yeah.
And it's called Abba Father, which everyone knows.
Oh, yeah.
Abba Father.
Yeah.
My dad used to sing that song, and so that's how I know it. And coming to St. Lucia, it fit perfectly because most of the days, the readings that we would be bringing to people were about God the Father, God as the Father.
Wow.
There's a lot of, like, fatherlessness in, like, they told us that, I think, it was a high percentage, and I shouldn't get it wrong, so I am daring to try, but
it was high enough to be very concerning.
It was a high percentage of children who are born out of wedlock and a high percentage who are raised without a father. Like, most children are raised either by their mother or, like, grandparents. So there's a lot of fatherlessness on that island. And I so it was like, wow, we should, it was that was the focus of what we were sharing with them, was passages about God as the Father. And so I thought, this song is perfect, Abba Father, like, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I would begin with that prayer, or we would sing Abba Father. Actually, I think first we sang a Holy Spirit song. So first we'd sing a song which is literally just saying, come Holy Spirit, 4 times. Then we'd sing it multiple times, sing come Holy Spirit, very, very slow, very meditative. And then it would transition, the chords just, like, flowed into Abba Father, and we would sing Abba Father.
Ooh,
after I finished singing those 2 songs, I opened my eyes to be able to begin, like, you know, reading the scripture. And I look over, and this man has, like, a handkerchief, like a Jamaican flag, a Jamaican flag handkerchief. And
aww,
he's dabbing his eyes, crying, weeping.
Oh, my gosh.
And
that is so beautiful.
Weeping. And I said, like, you know, like, how are you? Are you okay? And he said, he was just so speechless, and he said, like, I'm just so touched. Like, he was like, honestly, one of the first things that he said was, can you play it again?
Oh.
And I said, sure, let's play it again. So I played the whole thing over again. Holy Spirit, come. And then we prayed Abba Father again. And he just said, like, I think he kept saying, like, I've had a really hard life. Like, he said, like, my childhood was very hard. Like, his parents didn't treat him well. I think he had just a lot of struggles in his early childhood growing up, and it really evoked a strong emotion in him. So again, just even witnessing that, like, witnessing, first off, just already realizing, like, that this is an open man. This man, his heart is very open. And then seeing how, like, that openness was, like, he had the disposition of being opened, and then the Spirit came and entered in. Like, if he didn't have that openness, I don't know how.
Can you talk more about that?
What do you mean?
kind of like the how it's really helpful to have this open disposition. Mm. Like, the Holy Spirit can obviously, like,
move,
work through. Yeah. Like, God's not,
sure,
you know, constrained.
Sure,
but
sure.
How much more?
Yeah.
It's so much more beautiful. Like, can you talk about how, describe maybe openness more, kind of, I don't know, just the concept of openness.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it's true. Like, if the Spirit wanted, it could break down, like, you know, iron walls, whatever, no limits there. But that's, again, mystery, like, mystery of why he asks us to do his work, why he wants us to be his hands and feet, like, why he wants to use us as instruments and have us participate in the process of salvation. Like, that's a mystery. Another huge mystery is, why does he make himself so humble? Like, why is he just in the Eucharist? Why is he not, the Spirit is humble, right? Jesus is meek. They're so powerful, and they are really humble, and they want to be wanted. There's the love. Like, nobody wants a love that is forced on them. Like, we don't want, like, if I hate my parent, then I'm not going to receive any kind of, no matter how hard they try to hug me, I'm going to, like, hate that. I don't want that. Unless you want the hug, you can't receive it well. Like, so that's the thing is like, the openness is more like, it's for us. It's not so that we can work harder and, like, we need to humble ourselves. Like, it's not like the Lord is like, you need to be put in your place so that I can love you.
Yeah.
It's more like, I want you to want that. Like, that's how, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
The recept, like, it's in receiving the love. He wants us to receive it in its fullness, to feel it in its fullness. And so, when you're open, when you want it, when you hit rock bottom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you hit rock bottom, you want something, like, you know, that's when an experience of God's love just fills you to the brim, overflowing. You know what I mean? Like, I think the example about the parent and the child is what makes sense. Like, if, or just any kind of relationship, you know, if you hate someone, or you're not open to receiving their love, if your heart is hardened towards them, then no matter what they try to do to show them your love, no matter what that person tries to do to show you that they love you, you won't receive it well.
Yeah.
You have to want it.
That makes sense. Yeah. Receptivity.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to play your guitar and share some of that love through music?
I would do it for you.
Fashion.
Jesus, your son.
Wow, beautiful. That went so much better, like I think on the mic, than I had anticipated.
I know. it was so good.
Yeah,
so touching.
Hmm. Oh my gosh, yeah, it got me emotional a little bit. I love that. Wow. Okay, so where did you find your love for music?
Okay, well, when I was first born.
So it always starts. Yeah. You come out of the womb with a guitar.
Well, my mom told me that when I was first born, I was an hour out of the womb and I was in her arms and I was humming.
What?
I was asleep or just like my eyes were closed. Of course, I'm just got out of a body. but I would just do this. Hum. And when I was a child, when I would sleep, I would hum. She would know that I was asleep because I was humming.
Wow.
I still hum when I sleep.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, like music is, I have deep roots in my family. Both sides, very, very musical. My grandparents, my parents. So music was always like integral to my family in maintaining joy. Of course, every family has difficulties. There is no family on planet Earth that is not broken.
Right.
But music was a really foundational aspect of our of my family, of maintain, humor and music. Humor and music. Those were the two. Humor, music, God.
Gotta have the three.
Gotta have the three. For real. For a good life. So yeah, just music. Always grew up around a lot of music. I did a lot of community theater when I was a child.
Nice.
And what did you ask? Did you ask me? How did I get into it? Yeah, it just came naturally. And my family loved to do it. We would sing together. Play music together. So just encouraged by my family, and I had a desire to do it. I would literally like force them to watch me sing and dance.
That's the way you got to do it.
To perform.
Man.
Yeah.
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 Oh my gosh. Yes.
You will sit here, you will watch me perform, and you
Period.
Will like it.
Period. Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that reminds me. So, my brothers and I, we put on like a nativity play and we forced my parents to watch.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And we gave them paper tickets.
Oh.
And then we also gave them snacks so they could have a theater experience.
That is a nice touch.
Were you Mary at the foot of the cross?
No.
Who are you?
I'm going to talk about.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Nativity. Nativity. My bad. I thought you said like crucifixion. My apologies.
Oh,
no.
Were you Mary though?
I don't remember what I was. I coordinated a lot of plays with my brothers.
She was Joseph. She slept.
She was Joseph.
No, I was probably Mary. But I think maybe this one specifically, I'm thinking of the three magi.
Okay.
I don't know. It was a bunch of like little mini things. We also did like cops and robbers.
Was Bosco baby Jesus?
Bosco wasn't born. This was when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
For context, I have 7 younger brothers. The oldest one is 18, the youngest one is 7. But like at this time, I would have been about like 9, 10, something around that.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I only had a few brothers at the time.
Nice.
Yeah. So with that song, was there is there a special connection that you have to that specific one you just did?
Well, my dad used to sing that song. My dad was pretty old. for my like I was the youngest of 4 daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I am. Sorry, I'm not dead. I'm the daughter of 4. I'm the youngest of 4. And my mom had me when I was 4, or she was 40. And my dad was 50 when I was born.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there was a 10-year age gap. And he was on the older side of things. So my dad, when he was a young adult in the 70s, he like tried to get into that kind of, it was like a hippie, you know, spiritual, charismatic Christian movement.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how he learned the song, and it was very touching for him. I don't know the full story, but I know that it meant something profound for him. Like, it really touched him. He really loved the song. And so he memorized it. And that was the only song he could play on guitar. And so he used to, my family used to pray at night together. This is before I was born. Yeah. And he would play that song as like an outro for the evening prayer. So my sisters knew it growing up. I only learned it when I was like in middle school later in life, because we stopped doing that nighttime prayer. Mm-hmm. But I remember him playing it for me, and I was like, oh, that, like, and he knew how to pray that song.
Wow.
He knew how to pray it well. So I was like, wow, like, you know, Dad, that's really touching. And it was the only two chords. So he could do it. So that's how I learned it. My dad passed away last year. So I don't.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Thank you. So I don't know the full story of why it was so impactful for, like, I don't know the details, but I could guess, you know, like it touches every person in the same way. Right. It's a universal need to have a father. That's universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we sing that song, like it sounds like a lullaby. Like it's very simple.
It's very soothing.
Very soothing. Very soothing. Yeah. It's tender. It's a tender song.
Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm.
All right. Well, Rafi, thank you so much for coming here.
so much.
Is there anything that would be helpful? Like, if someone wants to get involved with the street evangelization, or, you know, they're thinking about it or whatnot, like, what is, at the very least, like, a disposition in the heart, or say they do end up in a situation where they're just conversing with someone, it doesn't, whether someone on the streets or just like a random person or whatnot, like, how can they really be a missionary?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that make a good missionary, right? So there's like a long list, but I think like a baseline that could maybe just be like more accessible or readily developable for people,
which would be perfect.
Yeah. Is learn how to enjoy people. You need to do that before you are able to evangelize. Do it with you're not even having, you know, like every conversation you have, like you need to start trying to enjoy others, which is it sounds really simple, but that is really integral. Like, that's the key.
Yeah.
Because we can live, it's so easy to live your life really mostly thinking about yourself, and people are like side dishes. You know what I mean? Like, you're really the main course, you're really the meat, and people are just the peas and the mashed potatoes. And like, sometimes you can eat them all, and sometimes you can just leave them.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't have to, you just eat all your meat, right? Yeah. Focus on yourself. That is the society, like that is the mindset that we are raised to adopt.
Yeah.
And it takes like that is the whole Christian life, is like learning how to rewire yourself, because it seems so it seems so opposite to attaining true happiness to actually like learn how to forget yourself. Like that, it seems really paradoxical. It seems really threatening. It seems really like unnatural, honestly. Yeah. And it's not super attractive. The only thing that attracts us to it is when we see people who have it and we see how happy they are, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I think a baby step in doing that, because honestly, like the most perfect way to do it is because you're like super united to Christ. But when someone's like new in their spiritual journey, like they don't have as many encounters with the Lord, like they don't feel super on fire, great. Just start with when you walk out of your house and you see someone walking to their mailbox, like say hello and talk to them a little bit and look at them, and learning to want to encounter people, to want to enjoy, like, and you don't have, I'm not saying you, like, don't make it fake. Don't force yourself. But like, just think about like, how would I act if I cared about this person?
Wow.
Like, how would I act if I wanted to enjoy them? Enjoying other, like, that's something we lose. That's when you get depressed, when depression hits someone, they cannot enjoy other people. They cannot enjoy other people. They feel like the world is against them. They feel so isolated, disconnected from others. They can't, like, it's attack on community.
Wow.
So that is a key, I think. I'm really learning how to enjoy other people. I'm not saying that it comes naturally to me at all. Like, I am constantly learning, you know, like having to fall down and pick myself back up with, like, you know, we were born as a human family. Mm-hmm. You weren't born individually. This world is not yours to conquer on your own. You don't need to figure out who you are by yourself. Whether you like it or not, we are a family. You'll learn to like it. Just wait. That's the key. That's the key.
I love that.
That's great.
That is so beautiful. All right. Well, let's close in prayer.
Yeah.
And Rafi, so thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Julian, what was your favorite part?
Probably the song.
That was pretty awesome.
I've been having a very, very hard time with not only seeing God as Father, but as someone who looks at me with love, you know. And I think a lot of people, they question, like, whenever they sin and they turn back to God, and there's just love and there's just mercy and there's grace, and it scares them and it scares me, and it's like, why? Because, like, if I were you, God, I would hate me for all that I've done. But that's God hard. is a loving and merciful Father, so the song really, really hit home.
Yeah. Music can be such a way to connect with people's hearts. I think that was a big takeaway here.
Yeah.
And through connecting to people's hearts, then being a missionary. Mm. And being a missionary, like, yes, there's going to St. Lucia, but it's also going to New York, or being on your own campus, or walking around in your community. And you can use tools like music that can really touch people.
Yeah. I think it's a really, sorry, this is the last thing I'll say.
No, you're good. Go for it. Pop off.
I think it's a real special part of our soul that's dedicated to music, and that latches onto music.
Ooh,
like,
I love that.
I think even if someone doesn't have a conscious faith, the music that you listen to goes into your spirit. Like, the music doesn't need to be, like, whatever you hear, whatever music you listen to, it's entering into your spirit. Like, I really think that, like, this is just the last thing.
Yeah.
My grandfather had dementia. He couldn't remember literally anything. He had no idea what my name was. But he loved to sing. And when you would put on a Frank Sinatra track, that man would come out with the full lyrics. Like, he knew, like it was, like he was 25, right? Like, he knew his repertoire. Done, polished, done. Yeah. It's like, where is that memory coming from? You know, like, this man can't remember what he ate for breakfast, but why does he know these lyrics like the back of his hand? Like, where is that coming from? I think it has to do with your spirit. I think it has to do with your soul. Like, I really think that the soul is fed by music. And I think that's how you can enter into people, the depths that they're not even sometimes conscious of. Like, my grandfather didn't know that was impressive. It was just flowing out of him, coming out of him.
Wow.
So that's what I think, that's what you hit. That's the, like, deep treasure box that you hit in a human when you share music with them. And when that music is sharing the truth of the gospel, right? Like, then it's double power. But but I think in general that music, I think that it's like a, it's just like a really targeted hammer. Like, it hits you right deep in the deepest depth of your mind. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're inside there, like a mine, like mining coal, it's like music hits to the depths. Wow. For sure, in your spirit.
That makes so much sense as to, like, why, like, when we're feeling down or whatnot, we turn to music to feel understood.
Yes, yes.
Not that that should be your response every single time, because, like, you need to go to the people.
Sure.
But I find it interesting, like, as a human population, that's one of the big things that we do. Like, whether it's spiritual music, like Christian, Catholic, or whether it's, you know, more secular.
Yeah.
And they all hit on different truths.
Yeah. I mean, God, we could have just spoke.
Yeah.
Why did he create, like...
You're right.
Like, we could have just spoke, but our vocal cords can sing. Like, we can sing, we can make music. Like, anyway.
Yeah. Pop off.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's pray out. Sounds good.
Rafaela, would you like to pray us out?
I would love to. I would love
to. Go for it.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, we really know that you're here with us in this moment, throughout this hour that we've spent together. Lord, whenever more than two are gathered in your name, you promise that you're with us. So even though we're not conscious of it, Lord, We know that you're here. And I really want to take this time to thank you for the sharing that we've been able to do here, because the gifts and the things that you've shown and revealed to us in our lives, they're not just for us, they're to be shared. Because that encourages us, Lord, that helps us build each other up. And so I really thank you for the gift of seeing you in these two people, Therese and Julian, today. It's been beautiful. Thank you, Lord. And we ask that whoever listens to this podcast, that you could speak a word to them. You could touch a part of their heart that's hurting or anxious or broken. So this is all in your name, and we give you all praise and glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm Therese Sanctafamilia.
I'm Julian Coleman.
I'm Rafaela Smaldone.
And this is the Holy Tea.
Beautiful.
Awesome.